Radio.
Meditations by Father John Vlada.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask pardon for my sins and the grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. Lord, once again we come into your presence to pray. And now to pray about your temptations in the desert, because they have so much to teach us. We open the Gospel of St. Luke to the 4th chapter, and we read, "And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit for 40 days in the wilderness, tempted by the devil. And he ate nothing in those days. And when they were ended, he was hungry. The devil said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread.' And Jesus answered him, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone.'" Lord, you are praying there and fasting for 40 days, and of course you are hungry. And that first temptation of the devil to satisfy your hunger. But you don't work miracles for your own benefit. You work some, many, for the benefit of others, but not to satisfy your own hunger. And you answer the devil, "Man shall not live by bread alone." And Lord, help us to realize that it is not the satisfaction of our earthly desires that brings us happiness, but loving you, living in your presence, doing your will, knowing your mercy, living by faith, not by bread alone. And the devil took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time, and said to him, "To you I will give all this authority and their glory, for it has been delivered to me, and I give it to whom I will. If you then will worship me, it shall all be yours." And Jesus answered him, "It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." The devil tempts you by offering you all the kingdoms of the world, and they are yours already. You are God. You have dominion over the whole universe. Through you, all things were created. You are God. You have the whole world in your hands. The devil does not have dominion over the world, but he tempts you to think that he does, and he wants you to worship him, the devil. And you tell him, "You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." And Lord, help us to do the same, to worship you, and not to fall into the hands of the devil, worshiping him in various ways, attributing to him the source of our happiness, of our power. You are the source of everything. And then the third temptation. "And he took him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will give his angels charge of you to guard you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone.'" And here we see the devil quoting scripture. "He will give his angels charge of you to guard you." And a second text, On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. The temptation to test God by doing something reckless, trusting that God will save you. And you answer, "It is said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." And when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. Lord, you overcame those three temptations to give us example. And St. Thomas Aquinas, commenting on your overcoming those temptations, says, "Christ willed to be tempted, and he lists four reasons why you, Lord, willed to be tempted. First, that he might assist us against our own temptations. St. Gregory says that our Redeemer, who had come on earth to be killed, should will to be tempted, was not unworthy of him. It was indeed but just that he should overcome our temptations by his own, in the same way that he had come to overcome our death by his death. And Lord, in overcoming your temptations, you give us that example that we can overcome our temptations, just as you overcame our death, our spiritual death, by your own death on the cross to redeem us and restore us to the friendship of God. Second, to warn us that no man, however holy he should be, should think himself safe and free from temptation. To warn us that no man, however holy he be, should think himself safe and free from temptation. Whence again his choosing to be tempted after his baptism, about which St. Hilary says, "The devil's wiles are especially directed to trap us at times when we have recently been made holy, because the devil desires no victory so much as a victory over the world of grace. Whence too the scripture warns us, 'Son, when thou comest to the service of God, stand in justice and in fear, and prepare thy soul for temptation.'" A quote from the book of Ecclesiasticus. And Lord, you who are the Holy One, the All-Holy, willed to be tempted, to show us that no matter how holy we might be, or perhaps better think we might be, we can still be tempted. And the devil indeed seeks out those who are drawing closer to God to win them over to his own cause. And so often we see this. We have just, for example, made a retreat, made a day of recollection, finished our prayer, received the sacrament of Holy Communion, and we are close to you, and then the devil comes with his temptations. He doesn't need to tempt those who are already in his power. He already has them. He desires no victory so much as a victory over the world of grace. And Lord, help us to realize that, to be humble. No matter how close to you we are, the devil will still go for us. And the closer we come to you, the more he will go for us. And that quote that St. Thomas gives from the book of Ecclesiasticus says it all. "Son, when thou comest to the service of God, stand in justice and in fear, and prepare thy soul for temptation." Lord, you had just been baptized, and now in those 40 days in the desert, days of prayer with the Father, of fasting, the devil knows you are the All-Holy One, and he comes to tempt you. Help us never to confide in our own strength, to know that we need you, to be humble. Third, to give us an example how we should overcome the temptations of the devil, St. Augustine says, Christ gave himself to the devil to be tempted, that in the matter of our overcoming those same temptations, he might be of service not only by his help, but by his example too. And Lord, we have the same temptations you did, as we will consider in a moment. And when we have them, that we remember you were tempted too in those same ways. You overcame those temptations. So give us inspiration. We can always overcome our temptations. And fourth, to fill and saturate our minds with confidence in his mercy. For we have not a high priest who cannot have compassion on our infirmities, but one tempted in all things, like as we are, without sin. And perhaps we recognize that quotation from Scripture as in the letter to the Hebrews in the fourth chapter. Lord, you are our high priest, and we do not have a high priest who cannot have compassion on our infirmities, but one tempted in all things. You were tempted too, like as we are, without sin. You understand us. You too were tempted. And help us to remember your temptations and your overcoming those temptations, so that when we are tempted, we realize, I too, with your grace, can overcome these temptations. More words from Saint Augustine, speaking about how we will all be tempted. In one of his discourses on the Psalms, he says, "Our pilgrim life here on earth cannot be without temptation, for it is through temptation that we make progress, and it is only by being tempted that we come to know ourselves. We cannot win our crown unless we overcome, and we cannot overcome unless we enter the contest, and there is no contest unless we have an enemy and the temptations he brings." Let us pause before going on to consider the second half of what St. Augustine is going to say. It is through temptation that we make progress in virtue, because we are tested. A temptation is a test. And Lord, you allow those tests so that we can see whether we really love you by struggling to overcome the temptation, or we give in too readily. Then we don't grow in virtue, we don't make progress. And he goes on, we cannot win our crown unless we overcome. We win out in that temptation, and we cannot overcome unless we enter the contest, unless we are in this battle in this world where the devil is so active. And there is no contest unless we have an enemy and the temptations he brings. The temptations are those tests that show you that we really love you, and we gain so much merit every time we overcome a temptation. St. Augustine goes on, "Do you notice that Christ has been tempted and failed to notice that he overcame the temptation? Recognize your own self, tempted in him and conquering also in him. He might have avoided the devil completely, but had he not been tempted, he would have failed to give you the lesson of conquering when you are tempted." Lord, because you were tempted, and you wanted that to be recorded in the Gospels, we can take heart. We know that you too were tempted. You overcame. We too can overcome the temptations. Let us imagine two people who live the same length of life, do practically the same things, but one of them has many, many temptations, and he struggles to overcome them, and he overcomes them. Perhaps he falls from time to time too, as we all do, but he overcomes those many temptations. The other one has, let us say, and this is impossible, no temptations, at the end of their lives, the one that had all those temptations and overcame them has acquired an enormous treasure in heaven, great merit, because he was tested and he passed the test. The other one didn't sin, but he wasn't tempted either. There's no merit in that. Temptations have that value of giving us a test by which you, Lord, can see how much we love you and we can come to know ourselves. As St. Augustine says, and then knowing ourselves, we know our weakness. We know we have to pray more. We have to be stronger in those temptations. And the devil is very subtle. He doesn't come with something that is blatantly sinful. He comes with something that has the appearance of good. And so St. Thomas, in his commentary on the Lord's Prayer, says, "To begin with, the devil does not suggest obvious evil things to us, but rather something which has the appearance of good, his purpose being to divert a person, however slightly, from his basic resolutions. Because once someone has been led away even slightly from his course, it is easier for the devil to draw him towards sin. Even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Then, when he has managed to get him to sin, he binds him in such a way that he cannot get up. Thus, the devil moves in two stages. He deceives, and after deceiving, he keeps the person in sin. And often, we can add, discourages him from getting up. What's the use? I'm always tempted. I always fall. I'll never get over these temptations. And the devil wants us to give up. And Lord, you give us the grace to go on, to struggle harder. And as we said, we have those same temptations that you did. The temptation to eat the food, to make bread out of the stones. We are tempted so much in the area of food. To eat too much, to eat the wrong things, to eat those things that whet our appetite, the sweets, all of the things that we like the most, and sometimes are harmful to our health, to drink alcohol, perhaps, or some other favorite drink, to excess, the pleasures of the flesh, of the body, those temptations against chastity, whether it be to look at pornography, to commit acts that give us a sexual pleasure. Lord, help us to deny ourselves as you did. You overcame those temptations. And then that second type of temptation, the temptation to seek power, to have that worldly dominion, that if we worship you, you will give us that dominion over the world. And for us, it is the temptation of pride, of envy, to be more powerful than someone else, to have more money, more possessions, another car, more travel, to have a position of influence so that we can look down on other people, to worship the world, in a sense, and we shall not worship anyone but God. And Lord, help us to see that. When we are succeeding, perhaps, in amassing riches or gaining more power, that this will not give us happiness, that we worship you alone, the one God. And then to throw ourselves down from the temple, to test God, to tempt God, that sin of presumption. For example, someone who is out of work and instead of looking for work simply prays rosaries upon rosaries, thinking God will find a job for him. He has to pray those rosaries, yes, but look for work. The person that drives recklessly and thinks, I'm a Christian, I pray, God will preserve me from an accident. This is tempting God. A student who thinks he can pass his exams simply by praying more, going to Mass every day, but not studying. We must use all the human means as if the supernatural means didn't exist. and the supernatural means as if the human means didn't exist. We cannot tempt God. And Lord, help us in all the temptations that we will face to realize that temptations can be sources of sanctity. Yes, sources of sin, but also, as we have considered, sources of sanctity. Because we grow in grace, we grow in virtue every time we overcome one of those temptations. And Lord, you said to St. Catherine of Siena, why you allow us to be tempted. She records it in her dialogue. And there we read, you speaking to St. Catherine, the devil, dearest daughter, is the instrument of my justice to torment the souls who have miserably offended me. And I have set him in this life to tempt and molest my creatures, not for my creatures to be conquered, but that they may conquer, proving their virtue, and receive from me the glory of victory. And no one should fear any battle or temptation of the devil that may come to him, because I have made my creatures strong and have given them strength of will, fortified in the blood of my Son, which will neither devil nor creature can move, because it is yours, given by me. And Lord, you are telling St. Catherine that you have allowed the devil to tempt us, not for us to be overcome by the temptations, but that we may overcome, prove our virtue, and receive from you the glory of victory. And you have given us your Son, Jesus, with all of the graces we need to overcome. And God goes on in that dialogue, but if man does not consent to his temptations and molestations, he will never be injured by the guilt of sin in any temptation, but will be even fortified by it. When the eye of his intellect is opened to see my love, which allowed him to be tempted, so as to arrive at virtue by being proved. And Lord, you allow temptation so that we can grow in virtue by being proved, by being tempted. Temptations have so much value, and we tend to forget that. We don't want to be tempted, of course not. But when we are tempted and we don't look for temptations, then we realize, right now, I have an opportunity to grow in sanctity. Lord, to remember you in your temptations, you overcame yours. You give me the grace to overcome mine. Help me to struggle for however long I need, but to overcome these temptations, to prove my virtue, to grow in holiness, to grow in self-knowledge, that we realize how weak we are, because so often we fall very early on in the temptation. We are weak, but that helps us to know that we need to come more readily to you. We need to do more prayer, more penance, to grow in strength of will, to grow in grace. The Curé of Ars, St. John Vianney, comments on the value of temptations, saying, during the harvest season, the harvesters rise early and work hard, but they do not complain, since it is a question of making money. Temptation is the season of spiritual harvest. All of that hard work that the farmer puts in yields a harvest and earns him money. And the Curé of Ars sums it up, temptation is the season of spiritual harvest. What a rich harvest there can be if we overcome those temptations. He also says, a saint once complained to our Lord after a temptation was past, saying, where were you, O my loving Jesus, during this horrible tempest? Our Lord replied, I was in the middle of your heart and was pleased to see you combat so bravely. And Lord, help us to remember you are in our soul in the state of grace. You, Jesus, along with the Father and the Holy Spirit, and with our guardian angel looking on and watching over us, we don't want you to witness our sins. We want to live as those children of God that we are, those temples of the Blessed Trinity, and to act in accordance with that great dignity that we have. St. Alphonsus Liguori II sums up the value of temptations. He says, "Yet the Lord sometimes permits that souls which are dear to him should be tempted with some violence, in order that they may better understand their own weakness and the necessity of grace to prevent them from falling. God permits us to be tempted, that we may be more detached from the things of earth and conceive a more ardent desire to behold him in heaven. God also permits us to be tempted in order to increase our merits. When it is disturbed by temptation and sees itself in danger of committing sin, the soul has recourse to the Lord and to his divine mother. It renews its determination to die rather than offend God. It humbles itself and takes refuge in the arms of divine mercy. Why this means, as is proved by experience, it acquires more strength and is united more closely to God." And Lord, we know, because you have told us, that you will never allow us to be tempted beyond our strength. We read that in St. Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. "No temptation has overcome you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your strength, but with the temptation will also provide the way of escape, that you may be able to endure it." You will always give us sufficient grace. You said that to St. Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you." And Lord, help us to remember that. No matter how strongly we may be tempted or how often, your grace is sufficient for us. We can overcome this temptation if we want. How can we strengthen ourselves so that we overcome at least more of those temptations? Like you did in preparing yourself for your public life, you prayed. 40 days of prayer. Help us to pray always, to pray more when we are tempted more. You fasted for 40 days. Help us to do more penance, both to make up for our past sins, for those occasions when we have not overcome the temptations. We need to make up, at least in part, so that we don't have to do it in purgatory. The more penance we do, the more we help to make up for our past sins, and the more we strengthen our will by doing these difficult deeds that we call penance or mortification. We are stronger then to resist the next temptation. And then counting on your grace, going more often to communion, to the sacrament of penance, the sacrament of mercy, because you give us so much grace that will help us to win out. Lord, we see the value of temptations, but help us to be stronger in overcoming them. And we go to Mary. And Mary, yes, you were given sufficient grace to overcome all the sins of your life so that you did not fall into one sin. But that does not mean you weren't tempted. St. Augustine says that you were capable of sinning, but you had a special grace such that you were able not to sin in the whole of your life. Mary, help us, knowing that we too have grace, to overcome those temptations, to be strong, to love our Lord, to grow in holiness, to grow in virtue, in self-knowledge, to store up a great treasure in heaven by overcoming those temptations. And as we pray in the Our Father, deliver us from evil. deliver us from all the temptations that the devil may send, that we can hear those words at the end of our life, well done, good and faithful servant. Because you have been faithful in the little things, I will set you over the many. Enter into the joy of your Lord. I thank you, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations that you have communicated to me in this time of prayer. I ask your assistance in putting them into effect. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me.
For more from Father Flada, visit fatherfladablog.com. And for more talks, interviews and shows, visit cradio.org.au.